Hi, this is Andy Bertram, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast. Roar Eagle!
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 651.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very own beloved Patreon.com family, of whom you will hear more later. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we've got a special guest again tonight.
We do. Very excited about it.
Yes. We had Jerry Hennon on last week, and now we go to the folks who actually go out there and cover the team every day, every dang day. Who do we have?
Joining us tonight is Brian Stoltz from Auburn's rival site, auburnsports.com.
How you doing, Brian?
Welcome.
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. We're excited to have you on here because, A, we enjoyed talking to you last year. We're glad to kind of make it a regular thing. B, fall camp is underway, as they like to say, like they're sitting out there in tents or something with marshmallows and a fire. And you've been poking around, and we hope you might have some information for us. So we're going to find out in the next few minutes.
I have some information, some information I can't leak, and some stuff I will just tell you. So, you know, let's do this. I'm pumped.
Very good. Very good. All right. I'm going to switch over to the other document that John and I have prepared. All right. So, John, you want to kick things off? Talking
to Brian. So, all right, Brian. First of all, how has this fall camp been for you so far? Like, what's your perception?
For me, it's been hot. I really want to get into one of the ice baths with one of the coaches after they get done coaching. But, yeah, I mean, the same question marks that we had entering camp are still there. Who will be the quarterback? What will the offensive line do? And who's going to step up, you know, at wide receiver? I mean, the defense is pretty much taken care of. We pretty much know – or we can project a two deep chart, but the offense, besides running back and tight end, we can't project anything. So it's going to be an interesting 3 weeks heading into the first game, because especially a quarterback, because no one separated himself. We might see another Clemson game in 2016 where three quarterbacks play at the same time.
Oh, boy.
We don't want that. But at the same time, they haven't separated themselves. And I don't know if that will happen over the next 3 weeks. I mean, TJ Finley, you know, all the grief he gets has looked the best. Calzada has some moments, but his accuracy is just something that just he can't improve. I mean, he'll have passes where, like, the entire defense is coming at him, and he'll complete it, like, through a seam. And then during a drills where it's just him and a receiver, he'll overthrow a guy by 5 yards. And it's just something that one, Harsin doesn't like, Keesaw doesn't like either, because he's looking for consistency, and something you can't do, because these easy passes he's missing are just something that a quality quarterback shouldn't do. So, but other than that, I got a T-shirt. I got the famous T-shirt. I actually gave it away to a friend, who really wanted it. So, I'm a giver. So I gave it to my friend, and but camp's been good so far. I mean, we've had more media availability than years past. I would say a lot more than Malzahn ever gave us. It's just I really, really like this coaching staff. I like this team. I just don't know how they're going to succeed with the talent on the roster, the depth on the roster, and the schedule that they face.
Well, speaking of the players, and understanding that there are certain things that you cannot specifically tell us, what can you tell us about the health of the players and everybody out there or not?
Everything's healthy, but one player who's critical And that's Nick Roms. And from all the word we're getting is that he's had a knee injury and that it's not serious, but he might be done with football, maybe hanging it up, which I don't blame him. He's kind of tired of taking the beatings. But it puts Auburn in a tough spot because Tate Johnson, a guy that has taken maybe five snaps in his college career, was the first team on during the scrimmage on Saturday. They have Jaleel Irvin, who in the Birmingham Bowl was just brutal in snapping the ball to TJ Finley. And besides that, they have nobody at the with any experience at the center position. And Nick Roms, you know, as good or as mediocre as he could be, he did have experience. He knew the offense. He knew how to – he had chemistry with the guys. And it's a big loss because that's your captain of your offensive line. And if he can't come back, which we don't think he will, that's a heavy deficit going into the first few games and then going on as far as depth at the center position.
Mm. Sure. That's tough.
Yes. Maybe they'll start me. I don't know.
I was just trying to think, was there somebody else on the offensive line that could
move over
from one of the guards that could
I think Council has had experience playing center, but not in college. I don't think so. So that'll be interesting to watch over the next few weeks is who really takes a step there and who starts getting the snaps and who's calling out coverages. And, you know, the center's a really important position and they're responsible for a lot along the line. So it'll be interesting to see who steps up.
Does Cole Kubelik have any eligibility left? I know he can get the job done.
He probably does, but he's my age. He might be a little bit older. So he's like 43 by now, 44.
He could play for BYU at that age, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. After like 10 mission trips.
Heck yeah. Get out there, man.
But he might be able to come back. Maybe who else do we have? Ben Grubbs. Was Grubbs? No, Grubbs wasn't.
Tamborello was the center a long time ago.
Well, there was a year we played six. 98, I think we played six centers, remember? Just kept getting hurt.
98 is I don't want to remember.
Ooh. No.
Yeah.
So what would you say is probably the most important thing that we learned from the first scrimmage? Did something jump out as, ooh, that was interesting?
Two freshmen really stood out.
Yeah.
Damari Alton, the freshman running back. He had a long run where he kind of hit the edge, got a good boost or burst of speed and hit the edge. Harson had a lot of good things to say about him. And Camden Brown. I think Camden Brown came down with a 25-yard touchdown. He will get playing time immediately, especially on this wide receiver, you know, which, you know, playing time's up for grabs with those guys. I mean, there's no real experience behind Shed. And, I think that's two biggest keys. I think the defense controlled the line of scrimmage and stuff like that, which is not surprising. Finley looked the best, which is kind of surprising. They don't really know how to tell anything about Ashford because without him being live, they can't see his scrambling abilities. And Harson said that kind of sucks. You can't do that. But at the same time, you're worried about injuries and things like that. Sure. But the two freshmen really stood out. Damari, I think he's going to earn some playing time this year behind Tank and Jarquez. I think he's, you know, Cadillac said he's wise beyond his years. He's like taking everything really seriously. He's following he's providing leadership while also learning from Tank and Jarquez, which is a good thing. And Kendrick Brown's just, he looks like a football player. And the things he does is the type of things that Auburn needs at wide receiver right now. So I think that's the biggest story for the first scrimmage. The biggest scrimmage, I think, during fall camp is on Friday. And that'll be when they start separating themselves for the two depth chart. So we'll see what happens.
I follow up to that. Did Gurnier, the freshman, has he played at all? Did he play in the scrimmage any?
I don't know if he did or not.
Okay. Because I haven't heard anything.
Because we weren't allowed to watch. We were held back in the media area waiting for Harson when they were done. We're going to be able to see practice on Saturday, which is not the same as a scrimmage. I don't know if Grenier or Guarnier or whatever his name is, Holden. I call him Holden.
Right.
Easier to pronounce. Played any, but yeah, he's looked good in practice. He has a quick release, which is needed behind this offensive line. And, you know, if everything else fails, why not give the young kid some snaps? Because these quarterbacks aren't standing out. Go with the youth. So,
yeah.
I mean, what else do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple already, and I'm very, very excited about Camden Brown. But are there any other newcomers, either freshmen or transfers, that have made a move this fall?
Keontae Scott is one. He just arrived on campus like 10 days ago, and they're already raving about the kid. They say he's making plays in practice. He's learning the system very, very quickly. They can't speak highly enough of him. There's also Kobe Wooden's brother, Caleb, is making some impact. And Coy Moore, the transfer from LSU, he's really stepping up in at the wide receiver position. I think he'll be a starter. So between those three, I think those three will be big additions for Auburn.
Remind me what Keontae Scott plays. I can't place him.
He's in the secondary.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be an area of concern. I know we lost a couple of people, but it seems like what we have seems happy with it.
Yeah, they're very happy with secondary. The only real problem on defense is really depth at the edge behind Derek Holland, EQ Leota, and then linebacker. I mean, they say Wesley Steiner is really stepping up. Yeah. He expects to be a starter. So does Cam Riley, beside Owen Papo. So we'll see how good Owen Papo can be this year after missing almost all last year. But apparently Wesley Steiner's picked up his game. Cam Raleigh's picked up his game. And in the secondary, you have Jalen, Nehemiah, Zion, all those guys that they played before, but they haven't been leaders before. So they're really taking a leadership role this fall camp and providing guidance for the young guys who can also make an impact.
You know, when Steiner came in, it seemed like they were – I mean, this was a kid that, if I remember correctly, if he wasn't a five-star, he was a high four-star. And I think he chose Auburn over Stanford. So clearly, I mean, he's a smart kid as well as a athletic one. I remember from the beginning thinking, oh, he's promising. And they're kind of acting now, from what I've heard from the different reports, like, oh, he's really stepping up. And I'm thinking, I thought he would have been doing this as a sophomore or something. So is it really a surprise, or has he always had that promise, in your opinion?
I think he was just behind people. I mean, you had Jacoby McClain, you had Owen, you had who was the other guy last year? I just lost train of thought.
You
had guys, and sometimes it takes a year or two for learn the college system, and as smart as you can be, and as athletic as you can be, it's still an adjustment. And I think he finally got where he starts studying the game and learns the game, and has taken the next step because of it.
Yeah.
Chandler Wooten was the guy we were trying to remember.
Chandler, yes.
See Woot.
Thank you, John.
So, John, I'm going to take the A and you take the B. So, we talked a little bit about the quarterbacks, but John had an interesting pair of questions here, and I'm stealing the first one from him. So, okay. If TJ Finley is the starting quarterback, how should we as Auburn people feel about that? It's a good question.
That's a hell of a question. Because there's a 50-50 to that, because people are already down on TJ. But at the same time, there's a very good chance he improved in the offseason. Maybe bringing in Calzada and Ashford, bringing in a freshman, really lit a fire under him. And, he's looked good in scrimmages, in practice, which, that doesn't always translate to game day. But he's also won the respect of his teammates, and they really respect him. He's played a lot of role in the in the film room, and maybe it turns. I don't want to compare it, but maybe he's Jason Campbell versus 2003 versus 2004. I mean, you never know with these guys when they finally get it. He's still young. We forget that he's not like he's a fifth year senior. He's still young, and if the light comes on for him, it could be great. At the same time, a lot of people are negative about him because of what they saw last year. It was a different offense. He was thrust into the scene with Bo Nix getting hurt. Of course, he saved the Georgia State game. But at the same time, he struggled against South Carolina in a bad loss. He played mediocre at best against Alabama. Then he just struggled badly in the Birmingham Bowl against Houston. So who knows? I mean, if I was an Auburn fan, I would be optimistic about him until you see him struggle in maybe the first two or three games. But if he is a starter, you know, maybe there's a reason he's a starter. You're not going to start him because just for the hell of it. You're going to start him because he's the best possible option at the time. So, you know, put your trust in Harsin and maybe it'll work out.
That's good. All right. So if nobody separates themselves in the next scrimmage or two, will Harsin play two quarterbacks in the first couple of games and kind of extend the competition into the season?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no question he'll do that. There's absolutely no question he'll do that. He'll see who really pops when the lights come on, who plays the best out of them, and maybe heading into the Penn State game. Well, I mean, the first two games, they should win. Now, you know, we've seen Georgia State have them. We've seen Jacksonville State have them. We've seen other things, you know, where they've played underwhelming against overwhelmed opponents. But going to that Penn State game, I think he'll have a starter by then to know, after seeing how they perform in the first two games, who really stepped up, who the offensive lines, receivers, running backs really believe in, and then name a starter. It's not like they're opening with Clemson and it wasn't when he played three quarterbacks. They're not opening against the number one team in the nation. They're opening against Mercer, who's not even number one in FCS. So, you know, it's a whole different animal when they have two games to prepare for the first real challenge.
So, fair enough. And I do worry that you get in a situation then where you're swapping them in and out like you're Steve Spurrier or something. And and then it gets a little nerve-wracking. You know, you're like, maybe you need to give somebody a chance. So, it's, you know, there's always positives and negatives situation like that. You want to be flexible enough that if a guy's got the hot hand, you bring him in. But you don't want to mess up the confidence of the one you just pulled out. So, it's, though, you know, I don't know.
I mean, Steve Spurrier always had a thing where the quarterbacks were always looking over their back at, oh, am I going to be replaced the next series? So maybe he'll plan it so, you know, Finley plays the first series or first two series. Calzada has the next two and then go from that. You know, I can't read the mind of Harsin and Keesaw, that's why I think would happen.
This just, when you mentioned Keesaw, that, and you said a minute ago this is a different offense, and I don't know that people really have fully digested that fact, because last year's offense obviously was Bobo and Harsin kind of hybrid, I guess, right?
Yes.
And at different times in the season, it emphasized different ones of their philosophy. Do we know, I don't want to ask anything that you don't have any way of knowing, but what are your thoughts on how this offense would be different from what they were trying to do last year? Because we don't really know much about Keesaw here.
I would have to go back and look at Boise State, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what he's the other schools. There's going to be a lot more creativity, I would think. They say they're going to focus on getting Tank and Jarquez in the passing game involved. Obviously, they're going to use the tight ends more, which they did last year. But using the quick screens, which we know, doesn't always work with the offensive line, and you know, but slants. I think Ike Hilliard has done a great job coming in and doing a great job with the receivers on running routes, which some of them just don't know how to do because of their past. But as far as the difference, I think more creativity, more. They want to say north south, but I just don't see that happening with the offensive line in shambles like it is. But
that's not a word you want thrown around when you're talking about the month before the season starts. You don't want the word shambles to be. Oh gosh,
don't edit that out. But but I just think
there's your headline.
We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see first game to see what Keesaw's real game plan is. I've seen everything from the pitch option to wide receivers taking screens on pitches and on direct handoffs, and Tank come out of the backfield and line up a wide receiver. So, I other than that, I just – who knows? Who knows what this team will throw at them?
Yeah.
I mean, they need to throw the kitchen sink at every opponent, because otherwise it's going to be Gus 2.0 on us.
We got to get better at celebrating.
John, go ahead.
So, How would you compare kind of the mood or the feeling around this team in fall camp compared to other teams or other years? Like, what do you think?
I think this team has a lot more belief in themselves. I think this team is more confident. I think this team is closer. I think Harsin did a great job on getting rid of the bad apples, that you would say. There's a lot more energy. Well, the first 2 days of practice, they were really sluggish, but the energy has really caught up lately. I think it was the heat that really got them the first 2 days of practice. But this team seems close. They seem like they get along. They seem like they root for each other instead of against each other, which may have happened maybe last year. So I think the difference is that they I wouldn't say they have a chip on their shoulder, but they believe they're better than everyone thinks they're going to be. And you can say that about any team, though. But I really believe that in this team because the way they present themselves, the way they practice, and the way they prepare. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the gates. Sorry, my name is itching.
I have a new award to give out. I'm going to ask you who's going to win it. This is the Mao Zedong Award for the Great Leap Forward. So which part of the team has taken the biggest leap forward from the offseason or last year? Could be players, the receivers. Okay, the receiver core.
Wide receivers, by far. There's more capability. There's more talent. There's more chemistry. There's more depth. And I think that team, that unit will definitely stand out. I think they're getting better coaching from Mike Hilliard than they were in the past, or maybe just last year or whatever. But, yeah, I think that's one of the units that will stand out the most.
Awesome.
And quarterback.
I'd like to hear that.
They couldn't have gotten much lower, honestly, the way it was going last year. No offense, guys. But dang. All right, John.
All right, so I think you may have already answered this, but which area of the team should fans be the most concerned about heading into the season?
It has to be offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be because we've seen what's happened in the past 3-4 years with this unit. I mean, blame whoever you want. They're just not up to standards. And these guys are coming back for a sixth, maybe seventh year with, you know, Brandon Council, who's older than I am, I think. And, you know, if they don't improve just vastly, it's going to be the same stuff. And, the season really depends on the offensive line. I mean, we can say that over and over and over and over, but it remains true. And like Brian Matthews, my colleague, said, he's sick of writing about the offensive line because it's the same story over and over and over. And it is lack of push, lack of be able to gain 1 yard on third down and getting their butt kicked in one-on-ones. And if they don't step up 2-3 levels, it's going to be the same thing.
Do you think they have the potential to step up, or is it is what it is, as Saban would say?
At this point,
you're trying so hard to find some light, ray of sunshine, and it's hard to find it, isn't it? I appreciate you looking.
They're a year older.
Yeah.
Maybe like TJ Finley, they're going to take a step. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting their butts kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting good coaching from Will Friend, I think, but at the same time, is Alabama or Georgia really scared of this offensive line? Hell no. Those guys are laughing at these guys. So, I don't know. It's a weakness. It's been a weakness for however long now. And it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's the truth.
Well, we haven't talked about the special team. So, will that be a strength for us? And how is Anders looking in particular?
Anders is looking like my friend Rock Bellatoni's position coach told me. Looking like Anders. He was 4-for-4 in the scrimmage, which is good news. I mean, the newcomer, Alex McPherson, can just absolutely belt a ball. He might be used on kickoffs. Oscar Chapman is doing his thing again at punting. The only question is really, do we have a dynamic kick returner? Mm. Maybe Donovan Kaufman, maybe somebody else, maybe a receiver like Tavarius Johnson or Tavarius Johnson, somebody like that. You know, we saw Tank taking punt returns the other day in practice. Maybe somebody like that, which do you really want to risk him getting injured on a punt return? Exactly, John. I see you shaking your head.
No.
It's somebody like that. I mean, Donovan Kaufman is somebody who's really stepped up this offseason in all different facets of the game. And he, you know, He's on defense. He's a leader in the safety or secondary. He's a leader on special teams. He will either kick return, punt return, go after a punter, go after a kicker. It doesn't matter what he just does what he's asked to do, and that's always a good example of a leader. So
That young man has a partial Vanderbilt education. So what do you expect?
Well,
he can do research really for your anymore? He can do research for academic project while he's working on his kick returns.
He's already earned his PhD, I'm sure.
Oh shoot, yeah, heck yeah.
Special teams is not a worry for would be a worry for me. So
good.
I think they'll be fine.
We'll win everything by multiples of three this year.
3-2, Tupper Room?
Tupper Room.
Whatever.
I'll take it. I am not opposed to winning 3-2 as long as we're the three. John, do you have any other questions? I have one last little question there for him, and then we're going to see if he wants to play Guess the Game with us real quick before we let him go.
No, go. Ask him your other question. It's a good one.
I was curious, Brian, because we've talked to Brandon Marcello about this over the years, we've talked to others. What is a typical work day like for you? Is it all just like you get a manicure and a pedicure, you play some golf, sit out by the pool for a while, run over and watch some kids play football, and then type up a story, or is there more work involved? You tell us.
It depends on the day, really. There's really no typical work day. I like to sleep as late as I can because I'm not a morning person. I will literally bite somebody's head off before 10 a.m. If they have practice, I'll go over, watch practice for a little bit, post-practice notes. Then we get interviews with either players or assistant coaches or, you know, maybe Hartson every now and then and write a story about that, you know. And then if I have free time, I will be playing golf. I will say that. Or I'll be at a bar socializing. But being very careful for you young kids out there. And being responsible, I should say.
Yes.
It all depends on what the schedule is for the football team, basketball team, baseball team, things like that. I mean, I had a very hectic June where I missed all of this regional at Auburn because I was in Scotland for a wedding. But the week I get back during a super regional for Corvallis, and I think I know I'm on the road to Omaha to cover them in Omaha. So that was a pretty busy month. During July, I had a lot of free time, so I played some golf and sat in the pool and had some cocktails. I'm not going to say cocktails, but it sounds like Mad Men when I say cocktails. Like it's 1955, for Christ's sake.
It's what you had. It was a cocktail. It's fine.
Had some beers and, just waited in the pool trying to get sunburned as I could. And, right now we're in full gear. We recorded a podcast today instead of Tuesday because we have media availability tomorrow. And, yeah, it just depends on the day. So, you know, I try to get my good 12 hours of sleep, at least where I will be an angry little puppet. Watch a lot of Murder, She Wrote at night because I love that show. It's the best show ever. Angela Lansbury is a national treasure. I don't even care if she's from England. She should be president of the United States. So I watch Hallmark Christmas movies also, which are also awesome.
I always enjoy your stories on your show about the TV shows that you watch and everything.
I love them.
We touched on this a little bit last year too.
In a sarcastic way, it's just like I have no idea. They're so bad, it's good. And but tomorrow I'll wake up, write something, go visit practice or have player availability, and we get like a viewing session at 4:15, and then probably have some dinner and go come and watch some probably some Schitt's Creek or something. You know,
that's good deal.
Long question to your long answer to your question, by the way.
No, that was what good. I wanted, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I wake up at 6 a.m., go to the gym for 3 hours, and then, you know, write for 5, go back to the gym, and then do Pilates for 3 hours, and then go have a nice, sensible dinner.
There you go.
Is that what you want to hear?
That's
all right.
That's inspiring. I look at that answer, and I say,
wrong!
All right. So last thing for you is that we have a segment on the show called Guess the Game, where our podcast network associate, Jared, the yard sale artist, Alric, He puts together this audio clip from a past Auburn game, and he bleeps out everything that would identify it. And we have to figure out who the opponent was and what season, what year. But one important thing, it's always a game we won. That helps.
Okay.
All right, and there are various clues.
2012.
No, it wasn't. It's never been 2012, and will probably never be. Although that was the first year we did the show. This is our 10th anniversary. We got to have a big 10th anniversary. Yeah, coming up this fall. I guess October, John, right? I think it was October. It was into the season that we started. But
listen, when we saw this 2012 football game, we have got to record a podcast about this content.
I can't imagine the cursing.
I was so bad. It was so bad.
It's a miracle we did another year after that.
Brian, we said every week it was like another trip to the dentist.
That was so.
It's about right.
So uncomfortable. All right. So he gives us the first one, which totally bleeped out. And then after we discuss that one, in the second one, he doesn't bleep things out and you can have a little more help. Okay. All right. So here we go. Okay. Here goes the first one.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game 61. Again, I do believe I'm caught up on all my send-ins, so it's back to me picking these things. If I've missed you or overlooked something on the send-in, you know, just let me know, and my contact information will be at the end of this segment. We'll get it all straightened out, but with that, let's go ahead and get into my selection for this episode.
First things first, fourth and goal at a half a yard. Touchdown!
All right, guys. I feel like you might already have it, but I'll see you in the hint file.
All right.
Is that Bo over the top?
That was my first thought.
I think it is, because I think that's Keith Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That was Keith Jackson.
And he did not call a lot of Auburn games.
No. But he did call that one, because I've got it on VHS somewhere around here. Because Fife said touchdown Auburn. That was the first time that Jim Fife screamed touchdown Auburn was that touchdown, the 82 Iron Bowl. But I feel pretty good about saying it was 82 Iron Bowl. What do you guys agree?
It has to be.
All right, here's the hint file. Let's see if we're right, and then we got the final answer.
Let's get rid of that bleep and make it painfully obvious.
First things first. Fourth and goal at a half a yard. Jackson! Touchdown!
Yeah, if you don't have it by now, not sure what I'm going to do with you. I'll see you in the answer file.
I do remember it was fourth down because I think, was it like third and goal at like the 10, and they threw a little screen pass to Bo, and he got right down to the 1 foot line.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that was it. Here comes the answer.
All right, John, Van, if you guys put together that this is Bo Over the Top from 1982, well, then you got it. John mentioned that in last week's episode, so I thought, you know what? I haven't actually used that one, and I went ahead and found the segment. I thought it was fascinating that there was not a lot of hoopla or emotion from the commentator on that one. But hey,
that's
a great moment in Auburn football history. Again, you can reach out to me with a suggestion for Guess the Game, and I'd love it if you'd put an audio file with it or a link to it for me. I'm at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly. I am Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, gentlemen, War Eagle.
All right. Well, that was cool. We appreciate you joining us for that one. It was a little obvious, but you got it.
I want to email and ask him to do the Tupper Groom game.
Please.
No one's going to get that. What is the ending of that game?
It doesn't have to be the ending either. It could be any play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've had people send in like a penalty or early score in one of those big games. And sometimes it's hard to figure out because it's not the dramatic end.
The biggest clue for us, John, is usually the announcer. Like if it's Jim Fife or if it's Rod, you know, or Andy or whatever, that gives us a little bit of a help, and then we can kind of narrow it down. So
That was an easy one, guys. Come on now.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm glad we all agreed on it. So, all right, Brian, we appreciate you hanging. We appreciate you visiting us first and hanging around to play the game, man. So we appreciate
it. Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Yeah, keep up the great work. Thank you. And you put your co-hosts in their place. Don't take any crap off of them. You tell them who's the boss, man. You show them who's boss. Yeah.
I will do that.
All right. We will talk to you soon, Brian. Have a good rest of the year, yeah, man. Have a good season.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Brian Stultz from AuburnSports.com. That's pretty cool. He's such a good sport, and he's so much fun to talk to. I'm always glad we can have him on. So what did you think, John?
He is well-informed and entertaining guy to talk to.
He always is, yeah. He's good-natured and fun and nice, and, I mean, that goes a long way, you know. Some people are just bitter and sour and angry and all, and it's just really fun to talk to Brian. It's always good. So, let's see if we have any more of the news, but we do have a programming note, which is that the barbecue show will be next Monday. John, we are a week away from what is always the biggest show of the year, the AU Wishbone SEC barbecue preview show, where we tell you what the barbecue tells us about how Auburn's going to do and how the other team's going to do. And it's the only time of the year that we give out numbers, like win and loss numbers.
Yep. We don't do predictions at other times of the year. We don't this is how many games we think Auburn's going to win. Mm-mm. Because we need the barbecue to tell us.
It would diminish.
We need it to speak to us.
It would diminish the power of the barbecue for us to willy-nilly throw out predictions at other times without the barbecue. That would not be good. So, yeah, if you go through Twitter the last several years and you ever look at any place where anybody asks me, how's Auburn going to do this year? I'll say, well, they'll be all right, or they'll be good, or they'll be okay. Well, what about a number? I say, barbecue show is in August. I always say the barbecue show is coming up. And it is. It's a week away. So have you got an idea yet as to which barbecue you will be partaking of this year?
I do not. There's several good barbecue, local barbecue places, and it's just going to be what we're feeling this coming weekend.
I think it's to the point now that Amy likes the barbecue show because it's one night. She doesn't have to worry and wonder about what we're going to have for dinner. She just knows we're going to go get barbecue, and I'm going to save part of it for the barbecue show. I think Sugar Fire up on I-64 in O'Fallon is where we've been the last couple of years. The barbecue place closest to us closed, Hicks closed. We've still got the Beast, and we've still got Sugar Fire. Sugar Fire is one of the upscale. They're both kind of those little frou-frou, which I have issues with, you know.
I was going to say, we have two really good barbecue places here. I like one is Smoke, but it's like S-M-O-H-K. And that's kind of it's a hole-in-the-wall place behind a brewery.
Not so bad.
Run by some good people, and they make some really good pulled pork. And they make a pretty good Brunswick stew I like also. And then the other place that's really good here is called ZZQ, and it is a Texas-style barbecue. It gets high ratings from people from Texas even. It's really good. But it's more of a brisket place.
Well, you and I checked into that when we were in College Station in Houston last year, didn't we? The thing that's cool about Sugar Fire, they're the ones that are very, very creative. They have a different special dish every day, and they're on Instagram. And it's like they make really, really good hamburgers. In fact, they just opened a sister shop down the street from their barbecue place called High Point Burgers. That's just their burgers, and it's like a Five Guys on steroids. It's just amazing. But their barbecue place, they'll make the burger and then put different kinds of barbecue on it, and then things like tater tots or jalapeno poppers, or they just do all kind of creative stuff. And it's absolutely, I mean, you need to be hungry to go have one of their specials. It's just amazing. I'll just go and get some pork or some, well, got to get some poultry. We got to predict South Carolina, so always make sure to get a little handful of the chicken or the turkey for the Carolina. Did we have any other Auburn news we need to cover before we move on to other segments?
I just want to say we had one another commit over the last week. J.C. Hart is a cornerback, a defensive back from Lochapoca, the road from Auburn, and an in-state guy who is not, you know, he's a three-star and not the highest recruit, but a guy that is really good size and plays at kind of the lowest level of Alabama high school. So I think a lot of room for development. He's not playing against the top shelf competition. I think so. He may be needing to come in a red shirt for a year, but he's already 6'2 and can run. So a cornerback that size at Auburn on the in-state three-star cornerbacks has a pretty good track record recently of identifying guys that can play. And this is a guy that loves Auburn.
That is, yeah.
Like a guy that the story is that like, whenever they were in Auburn, anytime he would always ask his mom to drive by the stadium, even if they'd already driven by it, he'd say, please drive by it again when he was a little kid. So.
That goes a long way. I mean, you know, that's mm-hmm. you're going to give your all. You know what I'm saying? You're going to, yes. Yeah. And the three stars, honestly, I mean, I know we want to get the best players we can, and that's obviously for sure, but the three-star receiver seems to be working out pretty well for us, and, you know, a lot of time, the coaches that evaluate know better than these people that just arbitrarily throw out the stars. Oh, he's looking at Alabama. Alabama's looking at him. Go ahead and give him five, you know.
That's right. And so, then, I think Camden Brown's a good example of a guy who, like, mm-hmm. he has all the size and speed. I mean, he looks like Seth Williams in pads, okay? Mm-hmm. Size and yeah. jumping ability and stuff. And he played at the highest level of football in South Florida. And on a team with a bunch of high school, with a bunch of college prospects playing against a bunch of college prospects.
Right.
And so he got the ball some, but they had a bunch of other good players on the team. So he didn't get the ball 30 times a game or anything. And so I think that hurt him from a recruiting standpoint that he wasn't like the focal point of the offense. But the guy can play, and he, because he's played at that level, at that kind of league, he's ready when he gets to campus.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of difference. Yeah, no doubt. I'm just hoping that we can continue to make new contacts and bonds with these good schools, with the really good players, and get that recruiting back up where it needs to be. That would be really, really nice. Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked about that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So hopefully everybody that was able to order a basketball, Auburn basketball, from Barkley to Bruce has gotten their copy now. So if you are a patron and you ordered a copy, then and you haven't received it yet, just let me know. If you are not a patron and you've seen this book on social media or whatever, or maybe you don't know, we have a brand new book called Auburn Basketball from Barkley to Bruce, and which is exactly what it is, the history of modern Auburn basketball. Just become a patron, and all patrons can order copies from us. We even offer signed copies at a slight. You have to pay a little more just because we have to ship it three times rather than once, so it costs us a lot more money. But and repackage it. So yeah. But patrons are able to do that. We don't have an update on the Fantasy Formula One League because they're still on the summer break. They won't be back for Spa for a couple more weeks. But we do have to thank the patrons who got us to this place. And if you want to become a patron and be able to buy a copy of Auburn Basketball, still months before it goes on sale, it'll be out for the public in November, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron. Here are, and I thank them in every episode here, it's another benefit. And one other cool thing you get as a patron is you can put whatever you want as your name, and that's what I will read. And some people have even begun putting soundboard cues in their name, like telling me what they want played on the soundboard. So it's become a free-for-all. It's become nuts, and we love it. So here we go. Here are the patrons that are currently supporting our show. They include Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Ann Kangian, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom. By the way, we've added a couple. We lost like one or two, but we've added three or four. So it's always, there's always some reduction and some addition. We just want a little more addition than we get reduction so we can keep paying the bills and doing things like producing those books. Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Logan Chilton.
You sit at my table.
Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, 76 Tiger, I didn't make it as a janitor, so now I'm men's room attendant at
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
There we go. BBQ Special Hype. Yes, I like. So one of our patrons' name is currently BBQ Barbecue Special Hype. That's what we want. We want people excited about the barbecue show. Ben Bloodworth, Chris Hilton, assistant manager at
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
How many employees do they have?
It's a growing concern, John. It's a growing and upcoming business. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks. By the way, one of our patrons, I won't say who, but it was funny on Twitter today, said that the only reason that he or she knew that their credit card had bounced was that they started listening to this segment now because it's entertaining, and that, then they heard they weren't on it. I thought, this is awesome. We found a use. It's like it's a public service for people. If you're a patron and your name is not called, there might be a problem somewhere. So that, but people weren't listening, but now they're listening. That's great. Eric Morgan, Bobby, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B. No one fights like Gaston. I need to get that actual audio clip for George. Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, I'll Go Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, and
like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
Yeah, Robo Harson, Rusty Owen, Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, War Eagle Always, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie. Russia, number one. Iran, number one. Bama, number one. There we go. I'm always happy for an excuse to do that. It's my favorite bit that we've ever done. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, and joining me as always is my patron, Patrick Williams.
Please clap.
Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, the AU Bowl Pick'em Champion. What? Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus. Oh, by the way, Boris on his Twitter page has been tweeting out like two a day. He's doing two a days, but his two are pictures of him on the Auburn campus back on Memorial Day. So if you follow at Boris AU Tiger, you can see his pictures from all over the Auburn campus on a lovely summer day, spring summer day, back on Memorial Day. Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Dibama, Everything School. I love it. I love it. Helping Van Upgrades Insulation, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Luther, and Kelly Ottaway. I think they're among our newer folks now. Welcome aboard. Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87. Oh, this is where we get to do our favorite soundboard audio clip. So this time, I think I'm going to go with...
Well, we got a cage strong enough to hold an animal like you here.
All right, there we go. One of our favorites from Live and Let Die, I believe. A.J. Herman.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
There we go. I got your clip on here now, A.J. Alex Nguyen, who's been with us forever. Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Brian Albanese. Can I take TJ Finley on his moped in Fantasy Formula One? I love it.
I like it.
I do too. I think he could probably take down Williams. I don't know about the other teams, but I think he could probably beat Latifi. Yeah, I agree.
Latifi would be in trouble.
He would. Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, and finally, Elizabeth Donald, who I believe just finished up she's like about to get her master's degree in like literature or something like that. Elizabeth, I apologize if you're listening and I got that wrong, but I know that you just had a big educational accomplishment and I'm very proud. Let's see, next up is...
We got to get better at celebrating.
Right. I want early access to the basketball book. Well, hopefully you got it, because I shipped out like a crap ton of them a couple of weeks ago. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick. I just did a podcast with Jason yesterday, John. I was on Jared and Jason, their brothers, and Delvin and, Christatos. Yeah, I was on their show talking about the Avengers. That was cool. So it's nice. Cool to be on their show for a change instead of having, because we have Jared's clips on this show all the time. So, and we have Jason as a patron, which is awesome. So there you go. Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, Pat. I'm sorry, Pat. I was trying to think of his cool code name on there, and then I got all down that rabbit hole and didn't say Pat. Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains.
Someone knows. God knows.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. Loving Auburn means you have to
smoke weed every day.
That's what I'm afraid of. After the news we got from Brian tonight, I think that may be true. Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
That's so not true. Kathy is awesome. Paul Bankson, Richard Ryder, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, who says being at the bottom of the list is like
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Somebody tweeted that today with the picture of the Grim Reaper standing there, which was pretty funny. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. Yes, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls. Trevor Johnson, work, hard work, Brent Rumble and Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. www.auwishbone.com. Go there and join the wacky fun. And now I have a quick Dragon Con update. Dragon Con is at the end of this month, y'all. So if you're in Atlanta, it is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can pick a day. You can come for the whole time. But Jared and I will be on side-by-side tables in the Pop Artists Alley in one of the Merchandise Mart buildings. So you can come to our panels. You can come by our table. You can hang out and chat. You can pick up a book. You can look at. You can get some cool sketches from Jared. He's got all kind of fun stuff. We would love to see you at Dragon Con in Atlanta at the over Labor Day weekend. And now...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
What's in the mailbag? Right.
I can tell we're getting closer to the season because they're getting more emails. The listeners are interested and they have thoughts and questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes.
All right. First question's from Dan Thompson. He says, given all that went on in the early offseason with Harsin and his remarkable PR job since then, is it safe to assume that the trials of Brian Harsin will be a trial by combat?
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a reference to our trial of Gus Malzahn that we did a couple times and had a lot of
discussion.
We got
to get better at celebrating.
Yeah,
exactly. We did need to get better at celebrating.
Well, after that first trial about Gus.
You know, he's not 100%, not 100%, but he was out there moving around, and he's still kind of day-to-day at this point, but the encouraging thing for me, he was out there moving around.
But he wasn't 100% after that first trial.
I'm just glad he's out there moving around.
My impression was that he was moving around. Is that the impression that you got?
That's my impression.
After the second trial that we did.
You are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
And then pretty much out of that, after that, we were out of Gus.
That's it.
Yep.
All right. But Dan's question is, what are the must-win games for Brian Harsin?
And by the way, people have been kind of saying he needs to win the first five, and they're at home, and they're winnable. And I was on that train until today. I saw that somebody had Penn State in the top 10 in the country. So are we seriously demanding, not necessarily even expecting, but just demanding that this Auburn team that did what it did last season should go out there and beat a top 10 Big Ten team, even though it is at home. I mean, and we played them pretty good last year. Is that a reasonable expectation or demand?
I think that game is kind of a toss-up and could go either way. To me, when you talk about must-wins, the week after that, we play Missouri at home.
Oh, yeah.
So either A, we win the Penn State game and we're having to come down to play a you know, an SEC East team, or B, we lose and then we're kind of backs against the wall mode, or we're kind of banged up coming out of that game playing Missouri. I think it's important. I think the Missouri game is an important. Got to get an SEC win early in the season before we get into the – and, I think the first half of the schedule, you know, we've got to get wins then because it's much harder the second half. So,
well, yeah, Mercer and San Jose State, we should be able to win just on being at home, being a much better program, talent and all that. Penn State, it's going to be 2:30 CBS. I know it's at home. But they're going to be a top 10 team. It just makes me nervous. We got to beat Missouri. Then we got LSU at home. So, the game that really the season's going to turn on is, yeah, if we beat Penn State and start 4-0, 5-0, that's a really, really good sign. But that's kind of what we did last year, more or less. I think it's really going to come down to Ole Miss and Arkansas and Mississippi State. It's that three-game, you know, we go on the road at Georgia right after the five home games, and then we go to Ole Miss and then Arkansas at home and then to Mississippi State. And, you know, I've always said that one of the real dividing lines between a good Auburn season and a disappointing Auburn season are the Mississippi schools.
Mm-hmm, agree.
That's kind of a litmus test for how good the season was. There have been seasons that we lost to Mississippi State and still like won the West and had like a 9-2, you know, or 10-2 or something record. But that's only happened like two or three times in our whole modern history. So usually, as goes the Mississippi schools, and I think Arkansas kind of fits in there too, so goes the season.
I like that. I like it, and maybe I would circle Ole Miss, but it, yeah. Either one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, last season we beat the first two, and then the wheels fell off, so it wasn't as good of a marker as it could have been.
All right. That was a good answer. I thought that was thoughtful. So next question is from Cato, who says, hey, fellas, now that we're one entire scrimmage in and therefore know everything there is to know about this team, who do you think is most likely to win the Heisman this year, and why is it Damari Alston? He says, thanks. Thanks, Cato, the Alston Stan, the All-Stan, if you will.
Yes, I like it. It's like All-State. He's All-Stan. Well, I mean, Brian certainly had some really good things to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's definitely going to get an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
I mean, we lost Shivers, so we need a third running back with Tank and Jarquez, but they can't play every snap of every play. This kid's going to get some real playing time during the season, and so we need him to be good. And I think Carno Williams targeted him specifically to be kind of the next future running back.
That's why it's so important that we're opening with two games against teams that we should beat, but that will, I think, give us some challenge. You know, Mercer, I feel like when we played Mercer last time or time before last, they weren't cupcakes. I mean, they fought us for a half at least. And we know San Jose State can be good. So,
yes, they're much better than like the last year we opened, like, you know, a 1AA team and then a bad 1A team.
Right, exactly. These are challenges, but yet they're overcomable challenges. And so what's going to happen is hopefully we will be able to get some of those guys out on the field, play all the quarterbacks a little bit, play all the running backs a little bit, and get some data. That's what we need, is data from a live game against another team that's not us. That's what we need.
Data, but also the young guys actually get some snaps and experience. Yep. So they got that out of their system before the
play
Penn State. All right, that was it. We appreciate that question from the All Stan.
Mm-hmm.
And the next question is from Scott Crankton, who asked, what record does Auburn need to attain this season to keep its fan base perfectly split down the middle on whether to keep or fire Brian Harsin? Respectfully, Scott Crankton.
It's either 6-6 or 7-5, isn't it? Because if he goes 8-4 with this team and this schedule,
I think it's 7-5. I think if he went 6-6,
yeah,
it might be more than 50% on the this is not good enough.
Unless we then go and win a bowl game and make it 7-6.
That's fair. So I think again, 6-7.
Yeah.
I think 7 wins is the number.
Well, and also it's not good for him. It's not good for Coach Harsin the way this schedule sets up. It's good in a way because we can play at home and get our feet under us and everything.
Build some momentum.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is last season when it wasn't set up like this as much, we lost our last, 5 games in a row? This season, we could lose our last 5 games in a row because the easier games are at the beginning. I mean, I keep pointing out, people say, well, nobody had ever lost, 5 games in a row or whatever before, or lost all 5 in the season. And I always say, that's partly because we didn't play Alabama State or whoever right before Alabama. We didn't have a week off. We didn't have a cupcake before the Iron Bowl last year like we usually do. And that makes a difference.
Right. Yes, agree. All right. Our next question is from friend of the podcast, Auburn Elvis, who says, on a scale of Tom versus Jerry to Ahab versus Moby Dick, where does Seth Williams versus Kelvin Joseph rank? And I know I don't know if you saw this, Van, because I know you don't watch any preseason NFL football.
I saw the clip.
The Seth Williams catch. Yes. Okay.
Because everybody was comparing it to the college. Where did he play in college?
The Kelvin Joseph guy played at Kentucky.
Okay, that's
and
right.
And he's the same guy that Seth Williams caught a big touchdown pass over when he was at Kentucky.
Right.
And then it's the same guy, and it's Seth Williams in the preseason of the NFL caught it over the same guy. So that's the torment scale that Auburn Elvis is laying out for us.
Now, it couldn't be this perfect, but that's not the guy that was like jawing at Seth all the way up. Is he the one that was like talking and talking and then Seth caught the touchdown and just kind of looked at him?
Yes.
Oh, that's just too good. That guy just needs to retire now. He had like a couple of – well, Seth's been in the pros for a while, hadn't he? This is not his first year. What, did he?
No.
I mean,
no. He's. But I think this was a big play and got a lot of attention. So
good deal.
And again, is there another famous like – person, character tormenting another character you like from fiction or cartoons or anything?
Itchy and Scratchy, I guess.
I was going to say, Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. I don't know where this ranks exactly, though. I'm not as familiar with it as you are, but I do love it. I love that it just, the torture continues. It's like if the Alabama quarterback from the kick six from the comeback game went in the pros and Nick Fairley sacked him and took the ball away from him. It would just be like continuing the saga on a new scale, on a new level.
I like it. All right, last question is from Bill Miner, who says, guys, as it's obvious, we do have an ongoing quarterback battle for the starting job, which reminds us of so many from the past. If you could recall, what was a battle that you were dead wrong on?
Ooh.
He says, I thought Cody Burns was the better fit in 09, but moving him to wide receiver allowed for him to still contribute while opening a door for Cam. Mm-hmm. Hard to see Cam coming if Cody was the starter and had a good season in 09.
Well, didn't Cam say that one of the reasons he didn't go to Auburn was that he thought Cody Burns had it locked up, and then when Cody moved to receiver, Cam was like, "Oh, I can go there now."
So
that really did make a huge difference. And then fortunately, Cody got to catch the touchdown pass in the national championship game, so he's always got that he can look back on. That's a really good question. Which quarterback race were you dead wrong on?
Well, there's always things we don't know, right?
Well, Jeremy Johnson always jumps out.
Again, somebody on this podcast wrote an article about Jeremy Johnson being a Heisman candidate.
Yep.
And it wasn't – again, he's won the quarterback battle. He just wasn't that good.
Exactly.
I think about some of the, you know, we had Mosley and Bear Trotter.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Sean White.
It seems like it's usually kind of obvious, and they try to make a controversy out of it, but it ends up being the guy you thought it was going to be, you know, Nick Marshall or Cam. Right. I mean, with Cam didn't do great in the A-Day game. Right. You know, the other quarterbacks looked better, but we still knew that it's just like, you know, it's just like what they were talking about with Robbie Ashford. There's things you can't tell in a scrimmage with when you're playing touch football that you can tell in an actual live game.
That's right. What and about Jason Campbell against the 2002 Cobb?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I thought Jason would come in and just dominate for 4 years. And he really had to battle Cobb. They switched back and forth. When people ask, you know, which quarterbacks have we had that have played for 4 years, I say Stan White. And they're like, what about Jason Campbell? I'm like, well, Jason played on and off for 4 years, but he didn't have the starting job locked up for 4 years because he struggled in games. And Daniel Cobb played better when he was younger. Yes. It took Jason a couple of years to just kind of get the confidence and get in the flow. So,
but also a good lesson for us, as Brian pointed out again tonight, that, you know, there's room for development and growth in these players, and that it's possible these quarterbacks will improve over the time.
Yeah. Bo Nix would have had the chance to be a four-year quarterback, but he will not now. So
he'll have a chance to be a four-year quarterback, just not a four-year
for Auburn, right. Am I wrong, though? Is Stan White still the only one that started for Auburn four straight years with no real competition? Because I don't think Pat Nix ever really pushed Stan. He waited his turn. So, yeah.
I think that's it.
All right. Any other questions?
That's it for the questions. Those were good.
All right. We did have one note. So let's go ahead and – we haven't done this in a while. Roam
around the world. Let's take a trip around the FTC.
The young lady's voice you just heard starts high school tomorrow.
Oh, get out.
Starts ninth grade tomorrow, Tuesday, as you're listening to this, Tuesday. Yep. Isn't that crazy? Her kindergarten year was the kick six year.
Hmm.
And now she's in ninth grade. So, and on the golf team and playing the giant saxophone in the band. So she's multi-talented. My child.
All right. The around the SEC news we have for today is that today it came out that LSU quarterback Miles Brennan is, you know, found out he wasn't going to be the starter and he's leaving the team and retiring from football. He was in a three-way race with two other players. One is an LSU recruit and son of a former SEC coordinator, Doug Nussmeier.
Oh, yeah.
And the other player is a transfer from Arizona State named Jaden Daniels. If you watch the Arizona State the last few years, he's been their quarterback. And so the rumor is it's going to be one of those two. And Brennan saw he was not going to get the job and didn't want to continue playing. He's had a lot of injuries. He was supposed to be the guy who succeeded, you know, after 2019, he was supposed to be the guy that succeeded Joe Burrow in the next year, but he got hurt early in that season, and then he got hurt again last year. So that he's tried to come back from injuries, and
that's how Finley ended up playing, year, right? But,
yeah, that's right.
There you go. It's all connected, and there's an Auburn connection there through Finley.
It is. It all comes together. But it just shows, like, Auburn is not the only team that is going through this right now and trying to decide who the quarterbacks are going to be. So.
And the thing I saw was he had a bunch of NIL deals and he doesn't have to give the money back because it can't be contingent on performance. So I think we found another bug. Or is that a feature, as you like to say? Is that
I think
a feature?
It's a feature. Like, again, he went out there to fall camp and got the crud beat out of him promoting Raising Cane's or whatever. So.
Yeah, but other I love it. But other people are looking at this thing and saying, wait, you get the money even though you didn't work.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
I had that one ready. Yes, sir. So I guess I'd just say it's a good deal if you can get it.
That's right.
Good on him. All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. Don't forget, kids, the magic word, the secret word for tonight was shambles. Oh, Lord, I'm going to go cry into my pillow tonight now that Brian's brought us all down with that little bit of news. I had no idea. Had you heard anything about that?
There were rumblings out there today that something was wrong with it, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, jeez. It's not good. It's not good. All right. Well, any last thoughts before we wrap up and get ready for the barbecue show?
You have to open yourself to the barbecue and let it come to you and enlighten you. And that's what we're going to do, and I look forward to it.
Are we going
to
do a video, live video, recorded video?
I was going to ask you after we got off the air. I'm fine with it if we want to do live. If people want to watch us eat barbecue.
Let's run it up the Twitter flagpole and see what people say. Okay. If we get a few people saying they want us to do it live, we can do it live maybe. Otherwise, I won't worry about it.
All right.
All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours, Wargle John.
Where you been?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.